2 Samuel in chapter 19 and 20 is where we're going to be in our lesson today. We'll finish up in chapter 19 and then start chapter 20. We'll pick it up in verse 31. And Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Regalim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I might die in my own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. And behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which seemeth good unto me. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan. And when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. And all of the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said unto the king, Why have our brethren, the men of Judah, stolen thee away and brought the king and his household and all David's men with him over Jordan? And all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, Because the king is of near kin to us. Wherefore then be ye angry for this matter? Have we eaten at all of the king's cost, or has he given us any gift? And the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, We have 10 parts in the king, and we also have more right in David than ye. Why then did ye despise us, that our advice should not be first had in bringing back our king? And the words of the men of Judah were fiercer than the words of the men of Israel. And in chapter 20 and verse 1, And there happened to be there a man of Belial, whose name was Sheba, the son of Bechri, a Benjaminite, and he blew a trumpet and said, We have no part in David, neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tent, O Israel. So every man of Israel went up after David and followed Sheba the son of Bichri, and the men of Judah clave unto their king from Jordan even to Jerusalem. And let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would bless our Sunday school lesson here this morning. Help us, Lord, to understand things out of your word that'll help us to change our lives and make us more knowledgeable of you and help us make us more like you. I pray that you bless the other Sunday school classes that are meeting. And Lord, we really do want to honor your name. We want to magnify you. We want to lift you up and you up alone here today. Lord, we love you and we thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this time that we can meet in freedom, Lord, without fear of persecution. Lord, we know that you've given to us this freedom and Lord, we just love you for it. And we appreciate it. And we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is, of course, the return of David back to his throne after Absalom had committed his rebellion. And they had a civil war between David's forces and between Absalom's forces. And Absalom was defeated and his armies were defeated. And so David now is invited back to Judah. At least we know to Judah, and we're not sure exactly how far past that, but we know that Judah definitely wants him back, and that it looks like Israel, the other 10 tribes also want him back. And so as he's returning, as he's making this journey back from this place where he was hiding, back to across the Jordan River, back into the land of Israel, then certain people are coming to him. And so these personalities that have drawn themselves back to David are personalities that we've kind of been looking at. And we looked last week at several of them and saw some lessons for us. And so when we get down here to chapter 19 in verse 31, we come to another character that brings himself to David. And this is Barzillai the Gileadite. Now, the one thing we know about this man is that he's a very aged man. You know how we know that? Because he says it like two or three times. Old people are like that sometimes. They want to remind you that they are aged people.
Amen.
You know the reason for that? It's because a lot of times old people don't get no respect. And you know something? That's sad. You know, the Bible says, rise up before the hoary head. The Bible says, honor thy mother and thy father. You know, there is something to be said for age. There is something to be said for experience. I would give anything to have been able to sit at the feet of Methuselah. Anybody, Bible scholars, know how long Methuselah lived here on this earth? Oh, man. Can you imagine that? He lived almost 1,000 years. When Methuselah says, hey, whippersnapper, you listen. He's got something he can teach you. I mean, think of all the stuff that we get into in just 70 or 80 years. All the messes we make, all the things we learn, all the lessons. I would have given anything to be able to be with Methuselah and say, can you teach me something about life? Is there something you can tell me? There's one thing that I've learned about old people is that they can save you many heartaches. You know why? Because they've been through some themselves. There are some battles in life that I didn't have to fight. And you know why that is? It's because I listened to an aged person. I wish I could say I always listened to aged people. But you know, with the vitality and the enthusiasm and just the audacity and the arrogance of youth, you know, there were a lot of things that I just didn't listen. But I'll tell you honestly that there were many things that I listened to an aged person. They sat me down and they said, son, let me tell you something. And they told me, and I followed their advice, and it has been a tremendous blessing. But old people don't get no respect, and I'm not sure exactly why that is, except that Barzillai the Gileadite was important to David. When other people, like who was that character? Remember that guy who refused to give David and his men anything to eat way back a long time ago when he was young and he was out there running from Saul? And he didn't want to give anything to David. Well, Barzillai was not one of these kind of guys. Because it says here, there it says, Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. That means he was 80 years old. And he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. So he not only fed David, but he fed the people that David was with. And he took care of them and brought things to him. I mean, Barzillai took care of David in many different ways, provided him with cooking utensils, provided him with beds, provided him with all kinds of stuff. And so Barzillai was very, very important to David. And so what David does is the king says there, verse 33, he makes an offer to this man. He says, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Sounds like a pretty good offer. I mean, but Barzillai, you know, he was a very great man in his own respect, but he invites him to come to the kingdom. And man, I'm telling you something. If somebody invites you to come and participate in something like that, how cool would that be, you know? I mean, all of the excitement and the pageantry of being there, right there at the palace where things are happening, where the country is being run and enjoying all of the trappings of wealth like David enjoyed, and the singing men and singing women. But this is Barzillai, this is his answer. He said, I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? And so all David does is invite this man to the kingdom. He invites him to the palace. And this man starts rehearsing all of the reasons why he can't go, all the things that are wrong with him. That is one of the marks of age, by the way, is you start telling all the things that are wrong with you. Come to one of our elders' meetings. Yeah, we deal with some weighty issues at times. And then at times, I feel like I'm watching a tennis match. Going back and forth. Yeah, my zipper. They call him the zipper. The elders here don't believe that you're really an elder until you have a zipper, you know, until you have that big scar going down in an open heart surgery. And they're talking about this and that. And I feel kind of bad, you know, because my toe was a little sore this week, you know. I almost hate to bring it up, you know, wimp. Yeah, but you know, it's a joke, but it's true, isn't it? I mean, look around. Any old people here that have absolutely, I mean, you're 80 years old and you have absolutely nothing wrong with you? If that's the case, then you're pretty strange.
How about 40 with nothing wrong with you?
Well, that's me, but all my disabilities are up here. My body's fine. We have a neighbor and his name is Tito, and he was 80 back years ago when he moved out there, and that guy still gets out there and works. I mean, he's just incredible. But that's unusual, you know, a Caleb or a Joshua. That's unusual. You know, there are certain things that start happening once you get older, and it would be an incredible thing if that experience and that knowledge and all of those life experiences could transfer over to somebody who's young, you know, that like you inherit something, you know, and you've amassed, you know, physical possessions, stocks, bonds, lands, whatever, and then you pass away and then you leave that to your children, you know, and then they have that. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to leave something else also?
Amen.
The truth is that you can. And a lot of old people, they've understood that, and they've actually passed on a heritage. And, you know, my goal and my dream and my desire is that when I get down to the end of my life, I could say, you know, I have passed on something good, something godly, and something lasting to my descendants. That's what I'd hope for. My family, the name doesn't have a lot of honor, you know, up to this point. It didn't have a lot of honor, and you know, there wasn't a lot good that was passed down to me. But, you know, my attitude has always been I could sit around and cry because I didn't have all this idyllic, you know, good past. Or I can start right here, right now, and I can create a heritage for my children and my children's children. And maybe if the Lord tarries, somewhere down the generation, some kid will be talking to his neighbor and he'll say, you know, it all started way back there with that one right there. And things for the Tebows turned around at that point right there. That's what I would like to see anyway. Yeah, we can pass things on. You know, if you're young, take some time and talk with somebody who's older. The shame is that a lot of young people don't have the time to spend with older people. But that's one of the reasons why here in this church, we try not to segregate anybody too much. You know, you go into some places and you're grilled at the door, your name, age, you know, whether you're married or divorced. And you know what you're put with? You're put with your own peer group. Your own peer group can't always help you.
Right.
You know, I'm telling you something. You come into here and you say, oh, man, I'm not staying around here because there's no young people, you know, or I'm not staying around here because there's no middle college singles or, you know, whatever your particular group is. Well, let me tell you, you can learn a lot from somebody outside of your peer group, by the way.
That's right. Amen.
That's why we like the young ones and the old ones and everybody in between to kind of get together and be feeding off of one another and be sharing one another, encouraging one another. But Barzillai, he realized his limitations, and I really don't think here that he's complaining at all. It doesn't sound to me like he's whining about it. It doesn't sound like me like he's bitter. Now you run into some old folks, and because they haven't grown up with the Lord, they end up pretty bitter old people. Have you ever met somebody old that's just bitter? You know, to me, oh, there's no more sad thing. Because you know what that tells me? That tells me that there's a life that was wasted. There's a life that was just a blip on the screen and absolutely means nothing. Now, that to me is sad. But, I mean, if you've lived all your life for yourself, if you've lived all your life with you as the center of the universe, and then all of a sudden you begin to realize your own mortality. Everything starts falling apart and you see death right up over the hill. And this life is all you've got. Then, man, I can understand why some people are so depressed. That's why I am so thankful that the Lord found me when I was 21 years old. Because I can joke about this body falling apart whenever it starts happening to me. I can joke about it. I was talking with an old man the other day at the job, and I say, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen him in a while. You know, he was a president of one of the neighborhood associations we work for. And he says, oh, man, he says, my back has really been hurting. I got two bulged discs and I got this thing in my neck and I'm going for therapies and I'm in excruciating pain every day. And I'm looking at, and he says, well, how are you doing? I said, great. You know, I'm doing good. But didn't you have back problems a while back? I said, yeah, but you know, I'm feeling good and everything. He walked off. I walked off, you know, and I bent over and I'm like, huh? And all of a sudden I said, is it psychosomatic or what is it? You know, all of a sudden I'm tired. All of a sudden I'm hurting, you know. But what a blessing to be able to have something more than this life to count on.
Yeah.
What a blessing to be able to get down at the end of your life and to be able to have known in some way I was able to leave my mark for something godly. I will take that honor over being president of a CEO, being CEO of a company that has 4,000 employees and have my name up in lights as a Hollywood star or even be the leader of the greatest country in the free world. I would rather be known at the end of my life as a godly man that made a difference rather than be president of the United States.
Amen.
When you get up to glory and those rewards start getting passed out. When the Lord Jesus, the one who said that he would not forget a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple, he won't even forget that. That you have the ability right now to prepare yourself for an eternity and you're standing there in line waiting for whatever it is that you're getting, and the President of the United States is standing there right next to you, and he's rubbing his hands. He says, man, am I going to get some rewards because I was President of the United States? You know, I led the free world. You know, I'm telling you, there are going to be some grandmas that get more reward than that. I remember a widow woman who put just a couple of pence in the offering. And she did it after the big givers had come by. Because, I mean, it's the big givers, right? Those are the ones that have the attention. They're the ones that get their plaques on the back of these seats. I remember when we had the folding chairs, somebody asked me one time, they said, do you have any kind of remembrances for people that give large amounts? I said, no, we never really thought about it. But I guess if you gave a large amount, we could get some We could get some stencils and maybe spray paint your name on the back of one of the folding chairs or something. I don't know. But she just gave, and the Lord pointed her out and then put her in Scripture for all eternity. Amen. The king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai wasn't interested. You know, have you ever tried to get an old person interested in something? Have you ever tried to take somebody who's elderly and tried to get them interested in automating the church books? Come on, little. We can get on the internet. We can get this thing done. And I was telling him that for years, and the bill comes up. Dad, we need to do this. Oh, okay. Talk about jealousy, man. I guess it's the way you ask him, right? But I mean, and I didn't grow up in the computer generation either. I'm not like that. And I'm at work one day, you know, my son, he was a senior in high school, and because, you know, they can't use their phones at school and everything, the texting, you know, it just was a good deal. And I needed to text him to let him know that I was going to pick him up after school or whatever. And I'm sitting there, and I went down to AT&T, and I got the text on my phone, and I'm out there at the job site, and, you know, I'm going, you know, I get the first letters. How do you space on this thing, you know? And then you get back, and then the whole thing deletes, you know, and I try three or four times. I look around, and there's this kid, this 19-year-old carpenter over there. I said, hey, come here. And he's over there hitting with his hammer. He said, what? And I said, do you know how to text? He says, yeah, what do you want to say? So he's still working, and he's going, you can't get an old person interested in that. They don't want to know how to text. They don't want nothing new. Don't give me new technology, man. I don't want a new Mustang. My 55 Studebaker worked just fine. Now, there was a car back in those days, they tell you. And you laugh, but then you're going to get old. Your kids are going to be coming up to the driveway in their flying saucer or whatever kind of technology they have in those days. Come on, Dad, let's go to the moon. No, back in my day, you got a rocket and you put a spacesuit on to go to the moon. That's the only way to get to the moon. No, Dad, you can just take a spaceship. You can be there in 20 minutes. Well, there's a reason for that. It's because the older you get, the more of a realization you get that things don't really matter. Wouldn't that be a rich thing for young people to be able to understand? Things don't really matter in the end. I heard a man say a long time ago, and I've quoted it because I love the quote. He said, that gold watch is not going to come visit you in a nursing home. I remember I had a nice gun collection, and I was contemplating getting married. And I thought, you know, those guns don't keep me warm at night. Those guns don't feed me. They don't. And man, have a loving wife or have guns. And some guys say, nah, give me the guns. I say, man, I sell every one I've got to get me a loving wife. You know, there are certain things in life that are important and certain things that aren't. And as you grow older, you have more of an ability to be able to weed out what really is important and what really is not. That's what I appreciate about Barzillai. He could, a young man, oh man, there's a party and I'm not going. You know, you tell some young people and you deny them the opportunity to go to some party where all their friends are going to be at. It's like, man, the end of the world has struck, you know. I can't go to the party. My social life is over, you know, and they overreact and say all the, and the whole world glitters as gold. And I guess we're supposed to be that way because if young people really were like old people, then nobody would ever create new technology. There'd never be any improvements in society. I guess, you know, we all have our gifts and everything. But to have that perspective, that, man, the things, they really don't matter. David could say, come to the palace, man. We got singers. We got food. The guy's sitting there thinking, he says, man, I can't even taste what I eat now. I can't hear the singers when they're singing. So what am I going to do? You know, my pulse over here tastes just as good as the king's steak because I can't taste either one. He says, you know what? Nah, he says, I'm not really interested. I wish when I was young there were some things I wasn't interested in.
Amen.
Wish I had that perspective. That in the end, things don't really matter. Other things do. Interest in material things is going to subside. Doesn't the Bible tell us there in the book of Colossians? He says, set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Amen.
Set your affection on things above.
Amen.
You know, another reason maybe that Barzillai didn't want to go with David is because as you get older, you get more inflexible. You ever notice that about old people? Old people, for sure, you guys know that about yourselves. But you like things the way you like them, don't you? I did an experiment one time. I put my Bible and my songbook down on the very seat that one of our elderly church members would sit in every Sunday morning. I won't say which one. And I just wanted to see what would happen if that person came in and realized they were going to have to sit somewhere else other than where they normally sit. I found out what happened. They very gently took my wife's purse, moved it over, moved my Bibles over, and sat down in their seat. Yeah, old people, they can be kind of inflexible. I find that the older that I get, the more I like my certain ways. When I first became a pastor, that was 1988, Jeff Royal, or it was actually Debbie Royal's mom, had this old recliner, most comfortable thing you could ever. And in 1988, they gave that thing to me. And I put it in my trailer. It was so comfortable and everything. Today, it is still comfortable. It looks ratty. It looks nasty. But when I walk into the room, that's my chair. You can sit in it until it's time for me to sit in it. And I want to sit in my, I don't want to sit on the couch. I don't want to, I got my spot, my person. Some people, as they get older, are ingrained in unhealthy ways. You know, try to get somebody who's 75 years old to stop smoking when they've smoked all their life. That's like a near impossibility. Try to get someone to do something different than they've always done. It works out okay if you're a godly man or a godly woman. But what if you have set bad things in your life, and then when you get old, those are the things that you are inflexible about? You know, it's a lesson for us. It's a lesson for anybody who hasn't yet reached 40 years. If you already know that when you get old, you are going to be inflexible, then why not right now start setting patterns in your life that are going to be easy to live with when you're old?
Amen.
I remember walking into a nursing home one time, Lindell. I was looking for people in a nursing home to go visit. And Lindell says, well, I know somebody. Her name is Mrs. Scott, and she would just love to have a visit from a young person. And so I went and I visited her. And I'm walking through the hallways, you know, and over here is this man, and he's got Alzheimer's, and he's back in World War II fighting the Germans, you know, and then there's someone over here just screaming, you know, just, you know, I mean, different problems. You know, I'm walking through this, and it's the first time I'd really been in a nursing home, and I was really spooked, you know, man, this is really weird. You know, I went through and I got to the room, and the room was dark, and I said, oh good, she's not here, you know. I was getting ready to leave, and then there was a little light down over in the corner. And she's hunched over, and I could hear this talking. And I went into the room, and I said, Mrs. Scott. And, of course, I spoke regular, which you don't ever do with old people. You have to yell. And so I said, Mrs. Scott. And she turned around, and she went, shh, J. Vernon McGee's going through the book of Romans. And when he gets done with that, he's going to be in Galatians. And she went back. And she's looking, and she's, and so I just sat there with her. And she listened to the rest of her program. And then she turned around and we started talking, you know, and I found out she'd been a Sunday school teacher for like 45 years and she'd been reading the Bible. You know what she started doing when she was young? She started putting the Word of God into her heart. She started putting this book right here into her soul. And now she was upwards of 100 years old. Couldn't go out and play frisbee, you know, couldn't hardly do anything. She, to society, she was useless. But see, she was inflexible. But she was inflexible in some things that were good. She wouldn't dare miss her Bible reading. And so she had that habit, and her eyes wouldn't work right, and she had to kind of peel up her eye and go like that to look at the Word of God. Set some good things in your life.
Amen. Yeah, amen.
Right now, while you're young, before the opportunities pass away, put some good things into your life.
Amen.
If you're going to give somebody love, better love now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to learn how to have patience to handle an injustice, you better learn how to have it now.
Yes.
If you want an opportunity to serve God, you better get it now. Because old age is coming at you like a freight train. And the young people, we can't possibly believe it. I somewhat believe it a little bit now. I still don't believe it totally because I'm young enough still to know that I got a lot of years left to live. And I haven't quite absorbed it yet. But I can tell you that from 25 to 48 has gone by like a freight train. I was back, we were packing stuff, you know, and putting things in boxes, you know, and trying to, and I ran across some old pictures. I have pictures doing things that I don't remember ever doing. I'm looking at the pictures saying, no, I wasn't there, you know, but that's me, you know, but I had no clue, you know. I'm telling you, this life passes by fast. Barzillai, thank you for giving us this information. Thank you for showing us a little bit about yourself. Because if you have to do something for God, do it now.
Amen.
These people that talk about, well, you know, once I retire, once I do this, once I do that, then I'm going to have some time to serve God. It ain't going to happen. Whatever patterns you set for yourself right now are those same patterns that you're going to have while you're old. If you don't care about the Word of God now, you're not going to care about it when you're old. Do you know that statistics show that more people get saved in their youth than in their old age? He talked to some bitter old man or bitter old woman and or they're stuck in their ways. He talked, maybe they're not even bitter. They're just hard in their ways and they're saying, man, my dad was a Catholic, my grandfather was a Catholic, and I've been a Catholic all my life, I'm not changing now. Oh man, that's hard. Some old people do get saved. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Just makes it all that much more of a miracle.
Amen.
But oh, thank God for women like Mrs. Scott, who, although their body looked like an overgrown raisin, you know, and if you just looked at them and you didn't know them, you would just say, what use? And yet in that woman, there were such riches. I would sit at her feet and listen to her talk about her experiences. And then one day I got a real treat because she started telling me what a hoodlum little Lindell was when he was a little boy. Him and his sister playing boogie-woogie music, you know, and there were some good things come out of that. But yeah, just go on, live for the world. Get old, and then all your resolve is going to be gone. All your opportunities are going to be gone. You know, there's another thing about Barzillai that I really appreciate is that, you know, he didn't want to go and he wasn't interested and no thank you, you know. It's kind of like old people, you know, play is a lot of work. And that's something that I'm learning now. You know, play is a lot of work. Hey man, for spring break, let's go into the mountains and go camping for a week. Well, that sounds real fun. You know, when I was young, You know, they call me up at 7 o'clock on a Friday night and says, hey, man, we're on our way to the coast like right now. I say, give me 3 seconds, you know. I grab my Frisbee and I grab my shorts and I'm out the door. Yeah, let's go to the coast, you know. But now I'm thinking, you know, we gotta get all the equipment out. We gotta set it all up, make sure it doesn't have holes in it. We gotta buy the food, you know, and we get back, we gotta clean everything. We got, nah, you know, that's all right. I'm not going. Y'all go, you know. That's what Barzillai was like. He was saying, nah, it sounds like a lot of work for me. Partying's too much work nowadays. But he says, however, I got this young man here, and he'd love to go with you. And of course, Chimlama, he was like a little puppy, you know. Yeah, I'll go. You know, still had that taste and that thirst for adventure, you know. So I was thankful for Barzillai that he wasn't discounting this young man and saying, hey, man, you don't want to go. There's nothing there. He said, man, you're young. Go, you know, do it. You're going to experience anything, man. Do it while you're young. Somebody said, you know, you think it's right for me to go travel and to do this and that? I said, well, man, you're single. You don't have kids yet. You don't have a wife. Go, man. You're free. But he had a concern for the next generation. There are some men in my life that weren't so self-centered that they weren't willing to take a little time and spend it on a young man. And all I can say is, thank you, Lord. Because every young man needs some men in their life. They need some mentors. Sad thing is, there's a lot of young men out there on the streets right now. They got mentors, but they're the wrong kind. I've talked with young men, and you know who their heroes were? Their heroes were men in their 30s and 40s who'd been in and out of prison, who'd been in and out of gangs and all this stuff, and they wanted to be a gangbanger just like this older person. No, I'm telling you something. I got some real good, godly men in my heritage. And they took some time with me. You know, I always encourage older people, you know, don't think that you're out of the wood. Don't think that you've got nothing to offer. Oh, you've got plenty to offer. You may not be able to get up on that roof and help us to repair shingles. You may not be able to do some of the things that young men do, but your advice, your wisdom, your presence is incredibly valuable in a place like this. And I would say, yeah, we need to rise up before the hoary head. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12, in verse 1. He says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh where thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the sun, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves, the grinders cease because they are few, those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low, also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or ever the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, and the wheel be broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God which gave it. And then look down there at verse 13. He says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good and whether it be evil. Yeah, this life, it only lasts for a little while. And then the day is done. Now, whatever you've done, you've done. And the thing is when you get old like that, there's no going back and redoing. It is what it is. And so my advice is, if you have the opportunity right now to give yourself wholly and fully to God, my advice would be, do it. Amen. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till the next day. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Because I'm telling you, there are some opportunities of youth. There are some benefits of youth that shouldn't be wasted on the flesh. They shouldn't be wasted on the temporal. They ought to be put into the spiritual and into the eternal. So I think those are some things that maybe Barzillai shows us. And we really don't have much time to even begin to get into the slight of Israel and the events of chapter 20, so we'll have to hold up off until the lesson for next week. So let's close in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this lesson. Please help us to take these things that we've seen in this character of Barzillai and take them to heart. Lord, we thank you so much for our godly, elderly people in this church. Thank you, Lord, for their wisdom. Thank you, Lord, for their years. Help us, Lord, to appreciate them. Help us, Lord, to take advantage of the wisdom and the advice that they give. Lord, I pray that you would help us all to live a life that we get down to the end, Lord, we wouldn't have any regrets. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.